Reports show that last year, Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos had his phone hacked through a popular messaging service called WhatsApp. Investigators hired by Bezos say the hack was tied to the Saudi Arabian government and that they targeted his personal messages and photos.
While we might move in different social circles than Jeff Bezos, there are still plenty of hacking dangers the everyday user can fall victim to. And no matter who you are, sticking to a few best practices can help keep your information secure.
Sarah Morrison is a reporter covering personal data and privacy for Recode's open sourced project and Vox.com's open source project, which looks at the hidden consequences of technology. Sarah, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, how you doing?
Great, thanks. You know, there's a lot that's still unclear about the details around this Jeff Bezos hack, but what do we know about how his phone was compromised?
So he had a WhatsApp on his phone, which is, you know, a messaging app, and I guess he was messaging with the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, like, as you do.
As one does, right?
And, yeah, of course, you know, as we all do. And at some point, they believe the prince sent him a message with a video in it, and that was automatically downloaded onto his Bezos' phone and had some kind of malware or virus in it that then transmitted pretty much everything that was on his phone back to the prince or whoever was working on his behalf.
You know, we kind of tongue-in-cheek referenced it there, but Jeff Bezos, a pretty high-profile target, right? But for everyday people, what are the relevant things we should take away from the dangers this has revealed?
I think the biggest thing that people can take away, and maybe the most surprising thing for people when they hear the story, is that an app that promotes itself as being extremely secure could get hacked. And I think, you know, I don't think, you know, the app has said that this is what happened and this is our fault. I'm pretty sure they haven't. But even so, it promotes itself as being secure and says, you know, it's encrypted. Your messages are encrypted. And actually, that is what happened. That's still fine. There's no indication that anything went wrong there. So the tool that it promotes itself as being secure for was still secure. I think what most people are surprised about is that there's still ways to get around that if you really want to. So I guess the message that most of us could take away from it is that don't assume that anything is secure. Don't let down your guard. Even if you think something is secure and quote unquote, like unhackable, because, you know, nothing is.
And despite those headlines, though, it sounds like WhatsApp is still considered one of the more secure messaging services. Why is that?
Because it is encrypted, it offers something called end-to-end encryption, which basically means, you know, you send a message and it's when it goes out, it's encrypted. Anybody who receives it besides the person you send it to can't see what is actually in it. And then again, the person that you send it to gets it and then it's unencrypted on their device. So if you don't want your message to get intercepted or seen by anybody in between, it won't be, you know, generally. I guess there's always things that can go wrong, but I think there aren't any that we know of.
And are
so that
there,
is why it is most it's considered to be still be secure.
And beyond WhatsApp, are there other services like this, other encrypted messaging services?
Yeah, I think there's a couple. There's several. I think something called Vibe, Signal, I know, Telegram. There are several. I think if you just look up messaging and, you know, end-to-end encryption, you'll find a bunch. WhatsApp is by far the most popular, most well-known.
And when people use WhatsApp or other means of hacking into our devices, what are they looking to get?
I mean, I think ultimately, I mean, not necessarily with Jeff Bezos, where I think that looks like it was information, but I think most people want to make money. So they're going to target things, you know, if you're just a regular, normal person, that will get money one way or the other.
Sarah Morrison is a reporter covering personal data and privacy for Recode, and we're talking about keeping our phones and other devices safe in the wake of news that Jeff Bezos' phone was hacked, reminding us that ours could be too. And Sarah, you recently wrote about a hack that you were victim of, and it cost you some money. Tell us what happened there.
Yeah, this is great. So I am a data privacy reporter, and, you know, a long time ago before I was, a more innocent time, so like 5 months ago, I didn't practice all of the best practices to prevent this kind of stuff, and so I was. And basically, I can't be absolutely sure what happened, but what I'm pretty sure happened and what is just good advice for everybody to follow is I use the same password or a pretty close version of it in most of the things, most of the accounts that I had. And I did that for like 10 years. So I believe at some point one of the services or maybe many of them I used got hacked and my password got out there. Somebody got it and just used it as many places as they could to hack into my accounts and use them. So they got two meal delivery apps. They got into two of those and ordered Asian cuisine. And to a total of, I think it was $103.91. And then they hacked into my bank account and wired about $13,000 away. So... and I got it back. I did end up getting it all back, but it was, you know, it was several days of concern.
I mean, I'm panicked for you thinking about $13,000 just being gone.
Yeah, it wasn't great. It wasn't fun.
And where do you start then? How do you figure that out and make sure that it doesn't happen to you again?
So I have like three ways that I think this could have been avoided. I don't want to say with absolute certainty. I think everybody should assume that there's a way to hack them and it could happen. These are just sort of ways to, I guess, not be the lowest hanging fruit for hackers, make things more difficult. And I think the first would have been to use different passwords, different things, and sort of switch them up somewhat frequently, not every 10 years, so that if one thing, one service that you use gets hacked and your password for one service gets out there, it's not getting out there for everything, including, you know, your bank. So that would have been, you know, my first advice. The second one would have been enabling something called two-factor authentication on as many things as possible, which I actually do. My bank offered an authentication app that I didn't use. And it's, if you want, I can sort of explain a little bit what that means, because it sounds like a complicated term that I think turns a lot of people off of something that is pretty simple and useful.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think more companies, more organizations, employers are actually requiring that to have people log into their system. So tell us more about two-factor authentication.
So basically, at its most simple, it's just using two different methods to log into an account. So generally what you do is you put in, you know, your username and your password, and then you log in. And this would be you put in your username and your password, and then a code is sent to, depending on what you use here, your phone, like in a text message or, you know, an app. And then you just type that code in, and then you log in. So somebody has to have, like, physical possession of, say, your phone or whatever that app is on in order to be able to complete the login process, which, you know, a hacker generally won't.
And what about the fact that they had access to your credit cards? How are you hoping to avoid that in the future?
Yeah, and this is actually something I think a lot of people do without realizing, including me, is, you know, a lot of your accounts, you have your credit card just saved onto it, like, you know, for future use, make it easier to order something because your credit card's right there. You don't have to enter it in over and over again. I have my credit card information just saved onto those two meal delivery apps. So all someone had to do once they got in there was order food, and then my credit card was charged for it. So I would say, you know, if you're able to not attach your credit card to your accounts, you know, don't. And then just, you know, enter your credit card in every time you have to. It's a lot less effort and pain than it being on there and someone using it in the end.
And we breezed past this, but I do want to circle back to passwords before we're done here, because your advice was don't use the same password, even different little versions of it, switching an I to an exclamation point, because people can figure can figure that out. But it's really intimidating that you're saying use different passwords for everything. How on earth are we supposed to keep them straight?
So what I do now is I have, you know, an app that's a password manager. Basically, I just put in all of my passwords for everything, and it just sort of keeps track of them all. So I just have to refer to it to log into things. It actually will generate complicated, nonsensical passwords for you, so you don't have to think of them yourself. It's pretty easy to use, but it's another step. I think a lot of times people's browsers and computers, I think Apple computers, Apple phones, will do that for you. They'll say, save this in a keychain. So that's another way you can do it. And I think the other thing I recommended, which, again, security experts really kind of vary on this one, so I don't want to, like, wholeheartedly recommend it, but I think it's better than nothing. You should write them all down somewhere, like in a book, and keep that book safe. But then that way, again, you've just got some kind of account of all of them, because you're not going to remember them all. That's somewhere. And again, I personally think that's better than what happened to me, which is, $13,000.
And whether it's a book or a password manager, again, assume that it's safe, but that you're not completely safe.
Yeah, I mean, look, everything can be hacked. It's really a process of, just doing your best on your end and hoping everything else falls into place, and choosing your friends maybe more wisely in terms of the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia.
Sarah, thank you so much for your time today.
Sure. Thank you very much.
Sarah Morrison is a reporter covering personal data and privacy for Recode and Vox's open source project. She talked with us about the best ways to keep our digital devices secure after Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos allegedly had his cell phone hacked through the WhatsApp messaging service.